Hi, listening friends. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 19th, 2014. Special guest in the studio today. Actually, a new friend just from the other day. He was one of the speakers at a Judah Christian Field of Dreams banquet. As you know, Judah Christian School is expanding, and they've acquired some property in the northwest end of Champaign, and they're going to begin working on some fields, I think baseball and soccer. But it's not termed field. What's that term for what people play soccer on? And it's not even called soccer. It's football from your part of the world, right, Graham?
Yeah, that's right. Where I'm from, it's called football, and it's called a pitch. You play on a pitch, yeah.
Play on a pitch. Well, my special guest for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, is Graham Barry. And after hearing him speak Friday night at the Judah Christian Gathering, I thought, oh, I got to get that guy in the studio. And so thank you for also bringing your dad, Bob. Bob, I appreciate you joining us. We've walked the nature trail already and getting to know these two. Bob, currently you still live in England, right? From England. And that's where you grew up, Graham. So we're going to get a little background on your life story and your journey. But I want you to focus on a few things I heard you share on Friday night about how you're using athletics and very specifically soccer to not only help people with their competitive fix, but to know the Lord and to care about others, to reach out, kind of almost as an evangelistic tool in a sense, and the unique role you play by assisting at Judah Christian School, but also as the owner and general manager of Soccer Planet, which I think is reaching people from the age, I think you told me, 18 months old to like people in their 60s that are playing soccer. That's so I got to learn a little more how that 18 months old kicks the ball and what you do to help inspire kids to use athletics as not only a vehicle to help their bodies physically, but help them emotionally and then with the coaching and how we can pour into these kids. But thank you for being available on this, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you.
How about taking us back a little, some of your life journey? I know you've been in the States, I think, about 26 years.
That's right.
Yeah, you grew up in England, so tell us a little of that journey and some of your faith walk along the way.
Okay, well, I grew up in England, as you said, in London. Went to high school and college in London. Was brought up in a Christian home. Both sides of my family, so both sets of my grandparents were Christians. So came to know the Lord. I made a personal confession of faith when I was 15. But perhaps like a lot of young people, at least it was true in my life, I kind of wandered. You know, the world was calling me, and I was, I guess, more than happy to answer and made some bad choices and found myself being in a situation when I was about 24, really at a crossroads, I will say, where I looked around in my life and seen some kind of the fruit of some bad choices and decided, you know what? Actually, it's funny, my dad should be here because I had a chat with him, and he said, Graham, basically, if you're not putting the Lord first in your life, nothing's going to go right for you, or at least for very long. And I really didn't just hear that. I listened to it and decided at that point, you know, I was going to put the Lord first in my life. And it was interesting because a lot of things did immediately turn around for me. That was when I changed careers. At that point, up until that point, I'd been a chef working in various restaurants and hotels in England. And I made a career change and went into aviation with my dad's business. What happened from there was got sent over here to Urbana, Champaign Urbana, on a business trip in 1988. And found myself in Urbana. Never been to America before. And you know, a lot of people say to me, well, why'd you go to Urbana? Well, I was there for a reason. I was working closely with Frasca flight simulators and also did some additional flight training.
And what many people don't realize, locally, Frasca Field and Rudy Frasca, when he designed some of those things for cockpits or the training, I mean, it's known throughout the world.
Absolutely,
It's an incredible asset that we have in the greater Champaign-Urbana area.
It is. They've got flight simulators all over the world now. And that was the reason why I found myself here. My dad's business was selling Frasca flight simulators throughout the UK and Spain and Ireland. And he sent me over to get a kind of a mechanical understanding of them so I could speak from that side. And maybe even if one of them needed some work, I could go and do that without, so he wouldn't have to call people over from the States. So that's why I ended up here. And I think it was about 5 days into that trip that I first met my wife, who was one of Rudy's daughters. So things kind of took a different turn there, yeah.
Now, was it love at first sight?
Oh, well, it's not every day you see, you know, when you're a young man in your 20s and you're just starting into aviation, it's not every day that you see a beautiful girl with curly, dark hair get out of a World War II airplane, mm-hmm. big yellow T-34. And I was coming in my little Cessna after doing a training flight, and Liz was getting out of one of her dad's World War II airplanes after she'd just flown it. And I must say, yeah, I was kind of taken aback by that. So it was very much so. I hadn't even spoken to her. You know, I was just going by her in my little airplane and saw her. So it was, I was quite taken aback by that.
And how much after that initial meeting up did you get married or propose?
We started long distance dating for a little bit more than a year. She would come on trips to England, mm-hmm. and I would come back here to the States to do some more flying. And we got engaged about a year after we met. Yeah.
And I know 4 children later, and what our listeners don't realize right now, and you're doing great, and I'm amazed that you could keep your composure, but having 4 children, 2 daughters and 2 sons, and I think you were saying 2 of them had started at Judah Christian School from kindergarten and worked all the way through. 2 are in college, and 2 still attend Judah Christian School?
That's correct, yeah.
But what people don't realize, I have little 5-year-old Esther here, and she's gone through 6 pens. I have them all underneath my leg now. She keeps trying to draw on my hand, and you're able to maintain telling your story. And she's right now, she's using water and putting it onto my hand. And so thank you for bearing with. I don't know where mommy is right now, but she's still trying to Esther. You know, you got it? I know you do. We're doing a radio program right now. So I know. Okay. Yeah, yes, not right now. But so I know you're familiar with kids. And in fact, you coach also. Fast forwarding some of your story, you've been coaching children, young adults, yeah. and actually older adults because of the various leagues mm-hmm. that Soccer Planet is a part of. But you've been doing that for years too, right?
Yes, I have. I've been coaching at Judah for 7 seasons now. So this upcoming season will be our 8th. And that's been good, yeah.
Okay, so what was the transition then? You came to the States. You're working for your dad. You're in aviation. You were a pilot. You're also learning about flight simulators, working with other pilots. So what was your market besides maybe flying the plane where you could take clients around? What was your other career calling? What were you doing?
Well, I've always been involved in soccer. I've played soccer since I've been 3 years old. Tried to pursue that, but frankly wasn't good enough, so that wasn't going to be a career for me. But I've always played and been involved in that at different levels.
Now, when you say not good enough, I mean, let's put that in perspective. I mean, maybe not one of the cream of the crops, but like in the Big Ten, we're in a college community here. I mean, you make the Big Ten team, you're a star athlete. I mean, you obviously were a good enough athlete to be in semi-pro, and really only a very few select people ever make it professionally. I mean,
true,
to do it as a
true.
Career. So you're a good player, and I'm sure a pretty good coach, too.
Yeah, I've been around it a long time.
Since 3, right?
Yeah. In England, you know, there's really only we don't have 4 sports. We have 1. Oh, we have 2. We have winter soccer and summer soccer. So, yeah, I got to a farm, to relate it to how sports works over here, I got to a farm league type situation for a year where they would pick the players that are going to make it from there. And it's very few and far between, and I was mm-hmm. one of the far ones. So found myself, when I first came over here to the States, one of the first things I did, 2 things, find a church to go to that I felt comfortable at, and then get involved in the soccer community. I was in my late 20s at that point, or mid to late 20s. So it was pretty easy through the U of I to find people to kick a ball around and get involved in soccer. So,
now, was Liz a soccer player at any interest?
Okay, no, absolutely. She went to Centennial, played tennis there and basketball, and then she went on to the U of I. But no, she was not mm-hmm. a soccer player.
Okay, so it's in the 80s. Sales are down a little. I know even with Rudy Frasca or Frasca Field, I think even just because of insurance rates and things, pilots, it was harder for people to be flying recreationally. Or I think there was somewhat of a downturn, I think, and that was affecting some of what you were doing.
Well, I went into the airline business. I was a regional airline pilot from the early 90s until the late 90s, till 1999. Actually, 2000. It was August of 2000. And then I went into business aviation locally, flew a business aircraft for Vesuvius in town here. Then that got sold on in 2006, and we fractioned the airplane, and a number of businesses owned it. And as everybody knows, in 2007, 2008, mm-hmm. everything kind of slowed down. Mm-hmm. So I started really looking at, do I want to keep going in this career, you know, with things slowing down?
And four children at home.
Four children, you know. Well, we had three at Judah at that point. But college was coming up, and so, you know, you're tossing around things like that. And Liz and I did a lot of praying and searching on, well, should we? I'd been kind of chewing over this indoor soccer facility thing for a number of years and had visited a number of them around the country because I was a pilot. I was able to go to places like Seattle and Miami and Binghamton, New York, to mention a few, and see what an indoor soccer facility looked like. So around 2009, we started really getting serious, and we actually used the services of a consultant and really started taking it seriously. And in 2010, we took the jump and bought some ground and started designing Soccer Planet.
So tell us a little about Soccer Planet and maybe that process, because I'm sure there's lots of listeners that, okay, Lord, where are you leading us? There's that, I can't remember the concept where coming out of your comfort zone, if you will. I mean, like, okay, Lord, where are you going to lead us? You know, we have children to feed. We have some gifts, some skills, some entrepreneurial spirit to maybe launch into this. Is this your leading? What was some of the draw? I mean, I know you know soccer can build character into kids. Mm-hmm. And I'd like at some point to share some of the story of where you saw prayer entering into soccer and the unique ways kids were reaching out. But you have this concept for indoor soccer, you know, because of the weather in the Midwest. Hey, it could work here. What was the process, and then how do you see it ministering and helping people?
Well, there's an extremely wide variation of soccer, because soccer is a game that is played. It's not just played by 20-year-olds. You know, we have programs and leagues for below 2 years old, actually, from 18 months all the way up to, we have a 62-year-old playing once a week. So obviously there's a wide range of ages there, and also abilities within those ages. So we have a lot of different programs, a lot of different leagues that run on different nights that cater to different ages and different levels of ability. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's a social thing too. You know, you show up once a week with your team. So it's got that element to it. And obviously there's it's quite a strain or a challenge on the body. It's a good workout, basically.
Yeah, a lot of running.
A lot of running, a lot of change of direction. So it's a very good sport to stay in shape. But then, you bring in that social element where people are on a team and they're meeting with their teammates every week. So,
now, I know you've coached and assisted with Judah Christian School, and there are some unique things that even this past season that you learned as you were reaching out to the kids, they also influenced you through a request that came your way one day.
Yeah. Well, in athletics, especially high school athletics, which is very competitive, soccer's no different in all the other sports, in that it's you're putting these athletes, these students, on a stage or a platform, and we talk about that in our preseason, that everybody's watching. You know, it's not just the referees and the other players; it's the fans on the sidelines, and they're really under the microscope and scrutinized, not only technically on how they're playing, you know, whether they win or lose a game, but how they react and how they act out, mm-hmm. maybe referee decisions that don't go their way, which, frankly, happens. Referees are human. So we talk about decisions that are going to go against them even before they've happened, and how are you going to react? Because, yes, we're out there to win and have a winning season and compete in a very challenging environment, but there's something bigger going on. We represent a Christian school, and we represent our Savior. And that's got to be the most important thing. We can't compromise that. You know, my wife has a saying, you know, audience of one. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the concept we try to plug into the boys and the girls at Judah, that, yep, you know, we want to compete, we want to be good, we want to win, but not at the cost of compromising who we represent ultimately.
Mm-hmm. In case you just tuned in, we have Graham Barry in the studio on this, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. I met Graham the other night at the Judah Christian Banquet. Their theme is Field of Dreams, and one of the fields that they're putting together in their new property that's owned on the west end of Champaign is a soccer field. Also known, if you play soccer, as a pitch, not like the baseball pitch, but that's the field or the terminology for those of us that know soccer as soccer and not as football, as most of the world knows it. But he's the owner and general manager of Soccer Planet, which is over near Frasca Field, the north side of Urbana. 25,000 square feet or something?
Yeah, the indoor facility is a little bit over 25,000 square feet.
We have lots of parents, young adults. I'm sure we have some college-age people. I know even some of the people from Judah Christian School, a couple of the students actually were going to get scholarships. So there's some very competitive training over there in teams to, like, the basics for the 18-year-olds or the little tiny tots. I think you call them little tots or something.
Little kickers, yeah.
And so somebody wants to know a little more information. Is there a website or a phone number for them to call? Maybe they're a part of a league and didn't even know about Soccer Planet.
Yeah. All the information about Soccer Planet is on our website. That's the best place to go. It's soccerplanetcu.com, or our telephone number is 367-9999. But all the information's on the website. You can actually even enroll for our programming directly on the website.
Okay, that was soccerplanetcu.com, soccerplanetcu.com. And see you for ChampaignUrbana.com, or you can call 217-367 and then 9999. Real easy to remember, 217-367-9999. And I'm sure you must draw people from beyond Champaign-Urbana, Rantoul, outlying areas. Is that where some of the teams are from?
Yeah, primarily a lot of the members are from the local area, but we have people traveling regularly from Danville, Charleston, Bloomington, and Decatur. So it is getting a wider membership.
Now, earlier you talked about salt and light and the influence that you as a coach and you amongst other coaches can have on these kids, to be the salt and the light. And you referenced portions of the book of Matthew. Mm-hmm. Talk a little about that.
Yeah, going back to my previous comments about, playing soccer and being under the microscope, being under the scrutiny of referees and fans and the other players in the way we react. I think it's a tremendous test of faith, if you will, for these young people to remember that we can be salt and light even when we're playing soccer. Mm-hmm. Because again, when call goes against you by a referee or you get fouled by another player, the human side of us wants to react and take revenge. But what we try to do, and it doesn't always work because we're human, but sometimes that's actually a better learning point that when it didn't go right, we get to talk about it and reset and say, let's remember again, let's refocus, let's start out. Remember what the big picture here is. It's not about winning. It's not just about winning, I should say. It's about representing our Savior and what's really important in life. And we're called to, put our neighbors first. And that's hard to do in competitive sports. And that doesn't mean, you roll over and just lose. It means you compete. But at the end of the day, you have to consider them as well.
I know as a coach for the Judah Christian School this last season, the players approached you with a unique request. Tell us a little about that story.
Yeah, it was our first game last year, and historically, or traditionally, if you will, we're a Christian school, so we pray before the game as a team, and then after the game, after we've shook everybody's hand and thanked the fans, we meet in the middle of the pitch, and we pray, we give thanks, pray for anybody's injury that's just occurred. And two of the seniors approached me at our first game of 2013 on August 24th and said, "Hey, coach, do you mind if we go over and invite the other team to join us?" And I looked over my shoulder and they were in their, debrief, if you will, after the game, which is kind of an important thing to do. And I looked and I said, "Yeah, that's a good idea. Go ahead. Sounds good." So they went over there and sure enough, a number of the boys did come over. And that started kind of a new thing that we did last season and kind of applied that to every game and saw anything from all the team coming over, including the coaches, to just a handful. to join us in giving thanks and praying for each other's injuries and praying for the rest of the season for the other team.
And I know it had a profound impact as the many coaches met for that special meeting, and I think where they vote on different unique awards for different groups and players and coaches. What happened there as the influence of this praying really took root into other people's hearts?
Yeah, coming back to the passage in Matthew where we're called to be salt and light and make a difference in our communities, it really did make a difference in our season because other teams noticed that, Jude, yes, you're a good team and you may have just beaten us, but you're different. And the difference was is that we gave thanks to the Lord and basically gave him the glory for the game and played for the other team. And we were recognized for that at the close of the season. We were nominated for an award in sportsmanship. And the team that nominated us specifically mentioned we'd just beaten Judah. Judah had lost the game. So the coach was very, very taken aback that even though his team had beaten our team, we still went over to their bench after the game, invited them to join us in prayer and pray for them and the rest of their season. So they were taken aback from that, by that, noticed that that's different, and nominated us for the sportsmanship award, and we ended up winning that in our conference or our region, I should say, because other teams that had played us agreed that that's good sportsmanship, and they saw something different.
Yeah, that Colossians passage comes to mind. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Yeah. And even in the game of soccer, the competitive nature of playing soccer, you can have that testimony still influence people and move them towards God. And I appreciate, Graham, you carving out some time. With me in the studio is Graham Berry. He's the owner, general manager of Soccer Planet. You can find out more at soccerplanetcu.com, soccerplanetcu.com, or you can call Soccer Planet at 217-367-9999, 217-367-9999. Well, thank you, Graham. It's been nice getting to know you the last few days, and the best to your father. Bob, thanks you for joining us in the studio here, and safe travels back to England, and thank you for raising your son in the ways of the Lord, because he's having an impact at Judah Christian School and through Soccer Planet. Though it's a business, you see it, Graham, is also a ministry outreach where you can influence kids of all ages to not only love soccer, but to love character growth and skills, and maybe even lead them to the Lord just through the fragrance of Christ that you exhibit as you coach and share. So thank you for being available.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.